Welcome to the Echo and Encourage podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Abbott, and I'm honored to have you here. This is the place where we talk about things that echo eternity and encourage everyone. Whether you're looking for powerful strategies to grow on your personal journey or the best tips to flourish in every area of your life, you're in the right spot. Let's dive into today's episode. On today's episode, you get to hear me interview four different people from the Latin dance community. It was an honor to hear their perspectives, and I'm so happy that you get to finally hear from them because we had originally shot some of this footage back at the Latin Dance Party Plus podcast booth at Nexus Slow in San Luis Obispo. And now we get to finally release it because there is no bachata or salsa music playing in the background. Thank you so much for your patience with this episode coming out. Let's dive right in. Welcome to the Echo and Encourage podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Abbott, and today we have Nico Wilson, a Latin dancer. Welcome, Nico.
Thank you, Hannah. I appreciate it. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thank you for coming. Nico, would you share a bit about your Latin dance journey, how you got started?
Yeah. So I had a friend in graduate school, and I was up in the Bay Area, who loved to dance and was always talking about it. And I decided to join her one day and started taking classes, just a couple. And then kind of forgot about it. It was really fun, but I forgot about it. Then when I moved to San Luis Obispo, California for a job, I ran into some folks dancing at the farmer's market. And it was kind of under tragic circumstances because one of the dancers had died, which was very sad, and apparently a very active and popular dancer among the dance community here. And they were doing a benefit to raise money for his funeral service. And so, you know, they demonstrated their dancing. I got connected with some folks, started taking more lessons, and it just took off from there. So I haven't stopped since.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I didn't know that story. Yeah. And I really appreciate how the dance community in San Luis Obispo or SLO is so loving and full of kindness, and that they took such a hard thing, grief, and they turned it into a beautiful opportunity to connect with other people. So I'm glad that you were able to find them at the farmer's market. Was it on a Thursday?
Yes, the famous SLO farmer's market on Thursday evenings. And I think they still do. The CP Salsa group does some demonstrations of Latin dancing out there. It's a good way to get new people into the group while also just having fun.
Yes.
It's a lot of people, a lot of big parade of people. Go ahead.
It's so beautiful. I was just going to say, I went and saw some CP Salsa students there dancing with Nexus SLO. They had the ballroom, or not a ballroom, they had a booth set up for Nexus SLO ballroom. And it was really fun to see them dancing. And I tried it out. I really enjoyed the salsa and bachata out there, but I tried a little bit of West Coast swing, and that was fun too. But back to salsa and bachata, those are your areas that you really, just a delightful dancer. How do you express yourself so effortful? How do you say it? It doesn't
effortlessly.
Yes, effortlessly. You are able to bring so much joy to the dance floor, and it just looks like it just flows so naturally for you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. No, and I know we've danced before and probably not as much as we should have, because there's always, like, you know, a big commotion and group of people to find a dance with. And but we've had some really fun dances, you and I have. And yes. I appreciate you saying that, and you too are a good dancer and fun to dance with. And I think that's what it's all about. Like, going to the root of your question is, you know, what makes it look fun or enjoyable. It's, you know, there's always, I think, some things to learn and improve upon. And even somebody that looks like they're amazing, they're, you know, anyone can always get better. And so that's kind of a fun thing for me, but At the core, I want to just have a really great time listening to music, engaging with my partner, making it come together in kind of this artistic form in a way that I think one of the best lessons I ever had in salsa was from a guest instructor at the CP Salsa, one of the CP Salsa workshops. And she had done all kinds of really fancy dancing at high levels, and I think she was an actress too, or something like that. But anyway, there was she had a whole history of dance and performance, and so she said, what she said though was, it doesn't matter really what level you are, like beginner, intermediate, or advanced. There are things you can do that to make it fun for everyone. One of them is listen to the music when you dance, and something that I enjoy anyway. It's very fun, enjoyable to listen to Latin music, whether you're dancing or not. And then try to connect with your partner. Like, what can you do to make it a two, sort of a two person dance? Not just a, like, what do I need to do, but what can two people do together to make this a fun musical and dance experience. And so sometimes that means letting your partner shine a little bit and have the spotlight. And sometimes it means you getting to show off your moves, and but make it a conversation in a way, like a dance conversation. So those are like just general tips and things that I remembered, I guess principles of dance that I remembered from that workshop. And also she said, throw in something a little fun. If the music is fun and you can, like, shake your shoulders or do a little spin or make someone smile, then that adds an extra element. And so, at the end of the day, you're there to have a good time, and I think that's what I strive to do each time. And it's pretty, whether there's just a few people at the event or a lot of people, I think I can generally enjoy it. But like, there's always nights where you're feeling a little more light on your feet, or you have the ability to pull off some moves that some days just aren't there. But overall, like, it's just so much fun. I just really enjoy it. It's a great community too, on top of all that, the people you meet and get to know as friends. And it's done in a really positive way, I think. I think for the most part, there's not a lot of drama, and there can be, of course, but I think for the most part, it's people there are there to appreciate the music, each other, and the experience.
That is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing all of that. I'm thinking about what you said about dance as a conversation during social dancing, and you really do a great job of engaging with your dance partner, and like you have that eye contact that's just right, and you don't disassociate. I feel like sometimes dancing with people, they look away a lot, or it's like you're talking to yourself. But you do make it a conversation, which makes it so fun and a shared piece of art, which is awesome. Are you able to express yourself both in salsa and bachata? Really, or is it one you're able to be more expressive in compared to the other?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Because I think, most people gravitate in any dance. I mean, they might dance swing and Latin, and they probably just gravitate a little more to one or the other. Or they, within the Latin dance circle, they tend to kind of, pursue one or the other a little more. Or in my experience, I started out with salsa, like when I first started learning in the Bay Area, and then came down to Central Coast. Salsa was really where I spent a lot of time trying to learn, because it probably between the two is just musically a little bit more challenging to hear the beats and get the moves down in the way that you need to do them effectively. But within bachata world too, there's a ton of really advanced and difficult things that can be part of the dance. But I think, I think if I'm at home just listening to music, I probably listen to salsa more. And it's where probably my initial just passion for the dance came from. But nowadays, I feel like bachata is taking off. It's probably more on the rise in terms of, like, if you go to a metro center or festivals and things like that, you see people people really showcasing their zouk or bachata moves, and because of just like the flashiness of those dances. But yeah, I feel like, to answer your question, that I could have, expression, or the ability to jive with the music in both dances, and I'm probably a little more comfortable with salsa. But having taken festival classes and teacher workshops here, and just like, you can always learn in any capacity, whether you're in a small town or a big city. Like, I think YouTube is a great way. That's one of the ways you can really learn. But I think, yeah, I think, just if I had to, people always ask you, what do you like better? And it's like choosing two things you like. Like, what, on some days you might like one better, and another day you might prefer something else, but food or whatever it is. But but I think just that first initial, experience and exposure to salsa has always been kind of like a fondness, like a soft spot for dance and music. And now, whenever I discover something new that I really like, a lot of times it's in the salsa world. It's a Cuban song or something from the past that it's like, oh, I never heard that one before. And so, and bachata, you can find that too. But I think bachata feels a little newer. Like, the whole experience just feels like it's evolved with less. I don't know that for a fact, but it feels like, the salsa world goes back a little ways. So you can go back to different times and decades and countries to get exposed to all of that. So yeah, so for me, I think both are great, and both have really beautiful, awesome music as well as dance opportunities. But yeah, like, just the breadth of like what salsa has to offer is always probably going to be my number one. Yeah.
Is that's wonderful. Do you do salsa on one or two?
I'm more comfortable with one because it's really what I learned and what I think most people tend to dance. I've had some experience with two, and usually when someone asks me, that kind of means they want to try two or something. So I'll do it, and to the level I can. But yeah, no, I think it's really a comfort thing, and for the most part, I just try to hear that one and five and figure out where I need to be to make the dance work as well as possible. It kind of depends on the level of dancer too. Like, if I've been to some events where you can automatically tell someone's really, really, they've had a lot of experience, and then trying to do things that you normally don't do is actually kind of fun. So dancing on two more can be a good challenge.
Yes, I just went to my first salsa on two partner work class at the Unified Social in Santa Ana. And it was incredible to take a class and, think about, whoa, you're moving, the steps are different. And it was really fun. I really enjoyed trying salsa on two out. It's definitely a very big experience of growth in my brain, thinking about what to do. And there was two bachata rooms at the social. There was one room that was more traditional and Dominican, and the other room was sensual bachata, and the salsa room was actually packed.
Wow.
And I only had the endurance to do maybe six salsa songs out of 5 hours of dancing, besides 1 hour of the salsa class. But some people, wow, they can stay in there and dance salsa for hours on end. They must be in incredible shape.
Yeah, it's more of a cardio adventure, I think.
Yeah.
But that's cool to know. Yeah, I mean, it seems like for a while now, at the bigger festivals, the salsa has been down a little bit, and the bachata and other forms of dance of like zouk and kizomba and dances like that have been on the rise. But yeah, I think like you're saying, it's a, you kind of have to be in salsa shape. And on top of it, I think like it's good to mix. Like I always feel like it's weird. I went to a Miami festival a couple years ago, which was really fun, but it was bachata, zouk, and kizomba, and which is great. But and I've had classes in all of them, and but jumping into like a high level zouk or kizomba class is kind of like a little over my head. Well, I can do it, but it's if like you dance with people, they're you could tell there's like they I danced with an instructor from Brazil who was like literally leading 1,000 people in front of me. And so it's like you're going like, all right, what am I doing here? Stuff like that, which is a good thing to do, just get completely out of your comfort zone. But when you have festivals like that where it's hours upon hours of one type of dance, I almost feel like I miss the mixture of music that you get from some of the events that I go to locally, where it's you might not only have salsa and bachata, but you have cumbia and banda music and merengue and something else, they might mix in there. So, I mean, even like we've even had some swing music mixed into all of that with some of the events that we've done. So, and I'm not a super big swing dancer, but it's good to do that. Just throw in some swing and see what you can do. So even if
Yes.
you have like two classes or something, go ahead.
Well, I'm just gonna say there's never a dull moment. If you could have your dream dance social, what music, what mixes would play or styles?
Well, I've really been into of late this Cuban piano player named Ruben Gonzalez. He has a song called Mandinga, and it kind of leads to a bunch of other Cuban music if you start listening to him. So Buena Vista Social Club, I think he was part of that group, or had he has some songs on the Buena Vista Social Club album, which is pretty famous for like Latin Cuban historical musical influence. But so that one's awesome, and that's kind of classic salsa. There's a Dominican bachata player who's really class, in my mind it's kind of like a sort of higher end guitar player style guy, named Juan Soriano, or is it Juan Soriano? That's how you say his name. And so he has a lot of people, you've probably heard his songs before if you don't know the name. Que pasará mañana, which means, oh, one thing that's helpful to me too is I lived in Spain for 1 year in college, so I got to practice a bunch of Spanish, and then so it helps with understanding the words and things like that, and being able to speak to someone who's a Latin dancer who doesn't speak English, that's kind of nice too, at least to communicate. But anyway, so he's a really awesome artist, Dominican style bachata, which of course is faster and more footwork, but just really like you could sit at home and listen to him and be like, wow, that's really cool stuff, really pretty. So there are a bunch. I mean, I think I tend to gravitate to the older salsa versus there are some awesome newer ones, Marc Anthony and people from like modern successful times. But going back to like the oldies but goodies, there's Hector Lavoe, who's pretty awesome. Like a lot of these guys were like Puerto Rico, and then they went to New York and got established there. Or Joe Arroyo, I think he's from Colombia. And then there were some of the other ones like Oscar de Leon. So if you listen to some of those artists, you'll probably like recognize the tunes if you don't know them already. But they're really it's a good education and kind of like early salsa history, and then you can find stuff that was made yesterday that's pretty good too. But it's just like I just like tend to gravitate back to that because I listen to it at home, and once you listen to a song a number of times, you can find the beat better and like where you want to play with the music when you dance. And so it's a great way I've heard from a friend recently that she listens to a lot of her favorite songs in the car, and then she'll like pick out spots in the songs where she goes, ooh, like I can do something with that part of the song to be able to dance better, and so if you know where the pauses are, where the elevated parts of the music are, you can do more with your dance. And so I think that's kind of nice too. Like when a song, or sometimes the DJ and you can be like, hey, can you play this song? And Sometimes they don't like that too much, but for the most part, the DJs around here, they're pretty amenable to like, if I be like, hey, like, I'd love to hear that sometime. And, or like they know something that you could take home and be like, oh, I love that one. What's it called? And that's a great way to kind of just, I think, connect with the music. And then ideally that can lead to better dancing, but sometimes it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, like you hear something you've never heard in your life and it just strikes you for one reason or another, like any music. I mean, you know, why do people listen to music? It usually evokes like either happiness or some emotional response or something like that. So, yeah. So I think for me, like just those, the classics and the usually like something that's a little less electronic or, you know, like a little more like natural instruments, I tend to like better. What about you?
Oh, well, I really love a variety of, if it's too fast all the time, then I'm going to get tired. If it's too slow, then I'll wish it was faster. So I love a mix of rhythms. I'm not exactly sure artists off the top of my head at this time. I'm still growing in musicality, and I love the advice that you shared. I just know that I really like cheerful music or music that my partner, the whoever's leading me, really knows the song, because then I feel like I am led into it with the musicality piece even more. So I'm personally trying to grow in my musicality. So thank you for sharing those tips. I'll need to look up those artists and try it out. And as far as going to dance events, I think out here, when I go dancing with friends in Fresno, they play sometimes a lot of salsa, some cumbia, merengue, less bachata. But I would really love more of a mix of more bachata, some salsa, and then maybe like one or two merengues. Unless my lead really knows how to lead me in cumbia. I haven't taken formal classes in cumbia, but they do play a lot of that music here in this area. So probably my dream event is what you were at, the Latin Dance Podcast Party, where DJ Luis played a mix of bachata and salsa. That was really fun. And maybe we'll have another party someday and we could get your insight on how to make it a mix that would reach everyone at the event. So thank you for sharing all of those tips. What would you say is one way we can echo eternity or encourage others?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good question. And when it comes to dance, but also just, you know, dance is an extension of kind of how we relate to other people in the world too. I mean, it's, you know, like I think you can feel that on the dance floor sometimes. It's when someone's a little sad or something like that, like try to encourage them and lift them up. Or you know, like if you want to develop a connection with somebody you don't know, like don't know, you've never met before, and this happens all the time, I think, in the dance world. Usually there's somebody there who you haven't met, or and maybe they haven't been asked to dance too much. That's like a nice thing to do for a lead, is if someone's just sitting on the side and they haven't had many dances, you know, make sure to include them and make them feel welcome and things like that. Or it's kind of funny because like sometimes I'll see people. Like the evolution of, which is great to see, but somebody who's very intimidated when they first come, that might be a guy too. Like sometimes I've had that where some guy comes up to me and's like, oh, you're so good. And like a few years later, they're like, you know, cruising around the dance floor, just like doing all kinds of crazy moves. And so, yeah. So I think like when it comes to being, it's like a kind of like a dance family type of thing. It's like you want to be a good community member, be a good person, and try to find opportunities to lift people up, like whatever that means. I mean, sometimes it's just going to someone's birthday party or something like that. You know, it's like, you know, the people feel appreciated when you show up and do things. I know people can't go to every event, and you know, so like that tends to happen too. Where I remember when COVID hit, it's like, wow, like I'm at home for all the time. You know, this night I'd be at this class, at this night I'd be at this event, and probably thinking about, going to some festival or something like that. But nowadays, I try to pace myself, but just trying to be there for friends and people that like really are trying to make the community successful, and that I think it's kind of becomes who your friends are. Like a lot of the dance community is people who you get close to because you spend a lot of time doing it, and so yeah, it's a great way to just build community and have people that become like friends beyond the dance floor too. Like that happens quite a bit too. So yeah, and also it's very international. I don't know if from city to city and community to community, it can look a little different. But I feel like in my experience, whether I go to some event that's out of town or I'm here in town, I think the cultural diversity and backgrounds of people is always pretty interesting. Like people that just gravitate to dance because I don't know, maybe they had it in their country or they want to kind of find that cultural experience that I've always enjoyed. So I think to your point of the echo, and how do I say that? How do I say
Yeah,
that?
echo eternity and
Echo
or
eternity.
encourage others. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like branching out to maybe something a little bit new, something a little bit out of your comfort zone. I think those are great things to do when it comes to the dance world, and that's an extension of life too. It's maybe something, in a positive way, like try something that isn't just too routine or like you're so comfortable that you just not like, I think sometimes it's easy to get into a routine because it's comfortable, but I think dance almost forces you not to, and that's a good life lesson. It's like, how can I talk to someone who I normally wouldn't talk to, or get an insight into someone's life who is from a completely different world than I grew up in, and so you get a lot of that in the dance world too, and it can be of all, it doesn't matter. It's like somebody who's from another country or someone who's has different, perspective than you do, when it comes to just how they see the world and all those things. So I think just being inclusive and understanding is kind of like what all you can ask of another human being, like because we all come from different worlds and different experiences. So trying to understand what someone else's world is like is a good thing. So anyway, I don't know. I'm kind of philosophizing, but that'd be my take for how maybe that helps someone out there like to get into dancing or just at least try it too. It's like sometimes the hard part is just the early part is, how do I do this, and I feel weird doing it, and that's okay to feel a little weird sometimes. So anyway, yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that and for being someone who's so welcoming and humble. It really does make a difference when people like you invite people like me who are on this dance journey and to dance. It's so wonderful. So thank you for all that you do for the dance community. And as a person in this world, you are filled with so much light and kindness. So it's been an honor to have you share today, Nico.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you so much for doing this. I think it's a really good idea, good project to share people's experiences with the rest of the world. So thank you for doing what you do too. Good job with
Well,
your interviews. Yeah.
oh, thank you. It's an honor. I appreciate you. All right.
Yeah.
Have a beautiful time on the dance floor, and I'll see you on the dance floor the next time I visit.
Absolutely, yeah. Come back to SLO sometime, and it'll be like just like old times at the Nexus and places like that.
Yes, if you're listening, we hope to see you on the dance floor.
Sounds good. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Nico. And today we have CC from the dance floor. Welcome, CC. So happy to have you today.
Hi, it's good to see you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I met you back in San Luis Obispo. It's an honor to have you. And I met you through Nexus Slow, and you have been so patient with me because we recorded your dance story back at the Latin Dance Podcast Party at Nexus, and then I wasn't able to publish that episode because of all of the fun music playing in the background. And so, thank you for being so gracious with me getting this episode on the show on the road.
Of course, you're very welcome.
Yes, thank you. So actually, now that I'm wondering, did I meet you at the farmer's market with Nexus or maybe at Nexus?
It's been so long, I don't know anymore, but dancing is definitely how we met.
Yes. How did you get into dancing?
I actually started dancing when my mom found an after-school program that was free. And so that was several years ago when I was young. So I started with ballet and jazz, and I even tried the breakdancing classes, but I fell in love with dancing. And then as I got older, I was introduced to Latin dancing, and it's always been part of growing up. You know, there's cumbia, salsa, bachata, but I was introduced to the Latin community as an adult, and that was just a different world, and it was so fun.
That's incredible that you were given the gift of dance at such a young age, and then you've been able to explore so many different types of dances throughout your life. What did that do for you growing up as far as finding your personality, your confidence through being a dancer?
And definitely. So being a young adult and having dance in my life, it really opened up my confidence level. So it helped me be able to perform well under pressure, communicate, and follow, which can be difficult to do sometimes. But as a young adult, that's what I felt it gave me. And I'm really grateful for my mom for finding these classes and for that after-school program. It was completely free. And they're still, I think they changed their name, so I don't want to say the wrong name, but it used to be known as Paso Robles Youth Arts Foundation. I think it's something else now, but they're still there, and they're still offering that.
That is awesome. And what an impactful legacy that they have through how they impacted your life story. And I'm sure a lot of other youth. That's very inspiring. Yes. So out of all of the dances, which one do you really have a heart for the most, or is it all equal to you?
I have really fallen in love now with salsa, which was my least favorite dance. So as an adult and learning bachata, I loved bachata. I thought it's a really beautiful dance, but I wasn't too certain about salsa. I just too fast paced for me, I felt like. But now the music that's coming out, it's reminding me more of my roots. It's reminding me more of home, and it allows me to be creative in how I express myself through dance. So it has so much movement, so much joy, and I've actually been enjoying that a lot.
That's awesome. I tell people I need to get into salsa shape because I went to the LA Bravo Fest recently, and it was my first time there, and there were a lot of salseras and salseros. And boy, I had to take a lot of breaks to keep up. I found myself more in the bachata room, but there were so many salsa dancers there for the first social that they actually played a lot of salsa for the bachata room because there were just so many wonderful salsa dancers, and that was the crowd. So I really would like to work on my endurance with the salsa dancing. It's so fun. I'm working on spotting and not getting so dizzy. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So
you have been in the dance scene for a long time. And do you have any wisdom that you'd like to share for follows that need to communicate having maybe more space with a lead or some dance etiquette tips for people that may be new to the dance community, or we could all use a reminder.
Definitely. I was given this tip and I wish I could have applied it more, but as a newcomer, you kind of feel like you have to say yes to everything, but you don't have to. It is perfectly okay to say no, and there's no explanation needed beyond that. If you're not comfortable with a person, a style of dance, the music, whatever it is, it's okay. You can say no, and you can even leave in the middle of the dance. You don't have to stay for the whole thing. And so that's something that I'm still working on, because it does, you do feel like you should be kind, but it's okay to say no. And it's understandable within the community that that's just how it works. It's nothing against anyone. It's just, sometimes it's no will suffice.
Mm-hmm. That is good. Yes. I found myself saying yes at the festival to leads I did not know, assuming that they would dip me safely, but I assumed wrong, and I actually pulled muscles there. So one person told me, you know, try to observe new dancers before just saying yes, because I was yes, yes, yes to everybody unless I felt uncomfortable with them. And now I'm learning, okay, I'm going to take CC's advice and say no more. And that may just mean that I'm observing and getting to know, are they a safe lead or not? Are they rough with how they spin you? Have you ever experienced dancing with a lead and they are not very cognizant of maybe form, or you do kind of tense up or feel like they're being pretty stiff or rough with their movements? And if so, how do you respond to that?
So I have experienced that. And I think sometimes in the moment of everything, some leads will get caught up in, you know, being showy. But the way that I've been able to handle that, where it's like, I'm not sure about this, I will keep tension, and if there's something that I'm noticing is off, I will just keep that tense connection. So if they're trying to do a move, I'm not going to follow it. I'm just respectfully going to just have that tense what would you call it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know what you call it. I forgot the word of it.
Yeah. I may be drawing a blank too, but that pressure that you're giving each other, that feedback mm-hmm. you're giving. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Within, I feel that in the beginning, it's nice to get a feel for how your partner is going to dance, starting off with the basic. Within that basic, you kind of have a feel for how you fit in each other's space. And if it's something that, like you were saying, it's a little bit rough, you just keep that tension and you just, oh, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay right here and keeping it like that.
That is good advice. I will try that out the next time I encounter that. And thank you for sharing your wisdom with me, because I've been learning salsa and bachata for almost 3 years, but each time that I leave class and go in a social setting, I'm noticing, whoa, I have a lot of questions still, other than what are these moves that I'm trying to still learn, but it's so fun. Yes. What has been healing for you about your dance journey?
Again, I know I mentioned this earlier about confidence as a young adult, but it has translated to confidence as an adult, as a woman, because I am in my mid-30s kind of now, and just having that space and that joy has been so helpful. There's so many things that happen in life that are either expected or unexpected, but knowing that you have the space to create with your music and your body and moving it really is just like music therapy, dance therapy.
Yes, that's wonderful. Do you still hip hop or do ballet?
I do not do ballet, but I do keep what I learned as far as like spotting, that it does interpret to a lot of spinning. So movements of ballet, definitely. I still remember my my ballet teachers like, no hamburger hands, no hamburger hands. So keeping that energy flowing throughout the hands. So I try to incorporate that in my bachata and salsa moves, and also hip hop. That's more sporadic, and I didn't quite delve into it. I didn't continue the upper body strength. There's so much upper body strength in those moves, and it's so calculated. And but I mean, I sometimes will try to do like a turtle, I think they call it. It doesn't last very long, but I tried.
I want to look up that move or have you do it the next time I see you in person. Unless you want to demo it right now for the video version. It's so creative. I would love to learn hip hop someday. I used to be able to go on my tippy toes, but like a ballerina, but no, not anymore. My current goal is to learn how to do the splits. Have you ever done the splits or do you do the splits?
I used to. Yes, that was something we would practice, and that was incorporated into every practice session. We would have our stretching sessions, and we were encouraged to not only do them at our practices, but at home as well. So it would start with like I remember I had blocks, and there was like a timer, and every day it was just practicing, and I was like, whoa, like I'm actually doing this. There was a move in ballet, I don't even know what it's called now, but you would jump basically and do like a split in midair. And I could be looking back at this and just saying it, and I don't know if this was true or not, but it felt like it. I felt like I was doing a split in the air. But because you kept practicing that, and there was another move kind of like similar to the cheerleaders where you jump up and you do that. So I still remember a couple of choreographed pieces that incorporated me doing that I still remember fondly.
That sounds like a beautiful experience. And do you think that it's realistic for someone, I'm 30 years old, to start stretching and see if I can do the splits someday?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, yes. Actually, trying to also get back in there and be able to do the splits again. I don't think it's never too late to do something.
Yay. Okay, maybe the next time I see you, we're gonna both be doing the splits. Oh, that is so fun. Is there anything else you would like to share with future dancers that may want to try out dancing or current people in the Latin dance community?
Yes, I say go for it. Just try it out. Try it out. The Latin dance community is we're very open and friendly and welcoming. So learn as much as you can, try it out, and enjoy yourself and have fun.
Yes. And what is one way we can echo eternity or encourage others?
Remember to be kind, and always remember everyone starts somewhere. So continue to be humble and show kindness.
You do such a good job at showing kindness and being humble. If you see Cece on the dance floor, You will compliment her in person like I did. You blow me away. You are a beautiful dancer and person. Thank you for coming and sharing your wisdom with us. Thank you, Cece. I hope to see you again someday in person, since now we live a few hours away from each other.
You bet we will.
All right. See you on the dance floor. And today we have Patrick Lim, longtime member of CP Salsa at Cal Poly SLO. Welcome, Patrick. So happy to have you here today.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm just a regular guy, so I'm very flattered. So
it's an honor to have you. I first danced with you at Nexus SLO in San Luis Obispo, for anyone who's wondering what SLO stands for. And I've danced bachata with you. You are an incredible lead. Your moves are very beautiful and smooth. And I was wondering if you would share with us a bit about how you got into Latin dancing.
Let's see. I mean, as is what happens with a lot, what I imagine happens with a lot of people, the greatest changes in your life often happens after a bad breakup. So went through a rough breakup and then decided to, you know what, screw it. I'm going to try something new. Took a salsa class and I just fell in love with it. And I've been doing it ever since.
That's beautiful. I can relate to that.
I'm sure we all can to some degree, for sure.
Yes, I got into salsa and bachata because my choreographer was doing this salsa and bachata choreography for my first dance for my wedding back in 2022. And while I have since been divorced, I decided to continue my dance journey, and I love it so much. And so there is so much beauty that comes from movement and the Latin dance community. What type of dances are you into in genres?
It's mostly Latin dance. So salsa, bachata, I do a little bit of kizomba and I'm getting much more into zouk. Both of the latter two are Brazilian dances. I've wanted to get into West Coast swing, but there's a matter of time, and also I have difficulty wrapping my head around having a 6-count pattern to 8-count music, so that can be kind of difficult for me, being musically inclined, classically trained in piano and guitar, so like the 1, 2, 3, 4, it's just kind of ingrained in my head.
It's beautiful. I see the guitar in the background. For those of you who are watching this episode, you could see the beautiful artwork and guitar.
People are looking at me.
Oh, well, there's a YouTube version. Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but if you want me to not feature the video version, that's okay.
It's fine. Just clarification, that is not mine. That I bought. I'm working on this one. It's been sitting there for a couple months. The crafter's curse, I guess. So.
Oh, that's so neat that you are is it painting that you're doing? I'm trying to see from here.
Yes, that is a painting that hopefully my friend will probably not see it until it's sent, or if he ever sees it. But it is a gift. It's a going away gift. Though she's been gone for about since like May. So, but life. Yeah.
That is so creative and thoughtful. She's going to love it. It's beautiful. What type of bachata do you know? I know there's different types of bachata.
Well, there's traditional, which is, and I'm pretty sure traditional and Dominican are the same thing, but I hear people talk about it differently. So I'm actually not quite sure, and I've been dancing for 17 years now, but I started with urban bachata, and then now I I tend to do more of that and sensual bachata, so it's got with urban bachata closer, and a lot of the movements are like sharper, but it can also be a lot slower. I like adding it, I like going between the urban and the sensual because of how it adds a lot more dynamics into the dance. So you can have those big sharp moments and then the slow smooth moments depending on how the music feels.
And did you learn the different types of bachata at CP Salsa, or have you gone elsewhere to learn this?
I've gone to different festivals. Actually, the first salsa class that I mentioned that I went, first lesson that I attended, where I fell in love with it, was actually at UC Irvine during my undergrad, and I learned from what was back then known as the paleros, which is they're called that because they were attached to the that salsa team was attached to the club on campus called the Pan American Latino Society. So, pals, salseros, paleros. I didn't know it was called urban bachata at the time. I thought it was just bachata, and that's just how it was done. And then I actually started to learn the differences when I got to Cal Poly. Funny story. Kind of embarrassing, but I thought, the close dancing of urban bachata was just how you danced bachata. That's how I thought it was. I learned the hard way that it wasn't, and that not everybody knows how to dance that. And so it took me a second, it took me a couple seconds to understand why there was a follow who I was trying to dance close with, and she would, move away a lot. I was like, what's she doing? This is how you dance bachata. And then I realized, oh, not everybody dances that way. And now she thinks I'm a creeper. Whoops. Sorry, Nikki. I apologize. I still feel so bad. I know I already apologized to you, but I still feel bad about that. And that, actually leads me into, one of the things I've come to learn and really, I'm really passionate about, and that is consent in dance. It's vital, and it's vital to keeping a healthy dance community. And it's key to having a good dance.
Yes, I love that. Thank you for sharing that story. That transparency is wonderful to see. I know that there's some classes that teach us dance etiquette and
Yes.
vocabulary and body language. And for the follows, if the lead is too close, then you can put a hand like you were saying she was doing. And now then you figured out what that meant. Some classes, they really tell you verbally, like, hey, that means this. But other places, not everybody teaches dance etiquette right off the bat. And so I think it is so important for instructors to share with people. There's a lot of people that don't understand that until it happens. And that's so good that you're embracing and advocating that. I've had to, well, I was almost gonna get super transparent. But how, here, let me ask you this. So, as a follow, I'm coming to these dance events like most people to build community and talent and skill and enjoy the dance. Nothing, no inappropriate intentions. But once in a while, there has been a lead who has tried to kiss my cheek. And that is inappropriate. And I've found my body freezes because I've just come out of this beautiful dance, right? And I'm not expecting that. And so, what would you say would be the best way for a follow who wasn't able to duck out of the way in time, or they were, to communicate, hey, that's not okay. That's not appropriate dance culture. So far, I've let leaders of dance events know, and they're on the lookout to confront inappropriate leads. That way, we can keep a safe dance space. But other than telling the people in charge of events when somebody tries to cross a boundary or does cross a boundary, what would you say would be the most meaningful way of for a follow to address something like that?
Huh. Man, that is a big question. Trying to avoid the classic grad school answer of it depends.
Oh.
But really, it does. I would say, I mean, I'm not a woman. I don't follow often. So I don't know what that experience is like personally. But from, from what I hear from a lot of different from a lot of different women, is backing up a little bit. I think the way that you approached it is perfect. Honestly, you just you use your words and said, "No, I'm not okay with that." And the thing is, I know a lot of women don't feel safe doing that because they're is a biological like size difference, power difference between men and women. And so when people ask, oh, why didn't she just say no? And she push back. Well, chances are she can't. And all and even if she could, didn't feel safe doing so. Because a lot of guys don't take it well when they're, when they're rejected. Yeah, rejection hurts. And, but also when someone sets a boundary with you, it's because they want to continue that relationship or whatever that interaction. And if they didn't, they just walk away. So, if they're setting a boundary with you, it's because they don't want it to end just then. They're giving you a chance to fix it. So, and we don't know other people's boundaries until they tell us. That's not a reason to get mad at. So, I'm speaking as a guy, two guys. We make mistakes. We don't know. Just like I, like I mentioned with Nikki. Sorry again. But anyway, I couldn't read it at the time. And it took some self-reflection. And that's when I learned. I didn't let it stop me. I just did some self-analysis to make myself a safer person to dance with. And if you don't change that behavior, people talk. Follows talk to each other. So fellas, take the advice. Take it to heart. One thing that I've said before is, when somebody sets a boundary with you, it's a statement against your behavior, not against you as a person. But if you continue the behavior, no matter how many times you are, no matter how many times that boundary is set, that is the quickest way to have somebody have a problem with you rather than just your behavior. So, yeah, just don't be so prideful and realize you are capable of making mistakes, and acknowledging that is how you grow. Anyway, I went on a rant about that.
Thank you for sharing those beautiful thoughts and speaking to our leads and, well, really to everyone you're speaking. And I was recently at an event. It was the Unified Social on 2 in Santa Ana. And there was a bachata room that had more traditional and Dominican music. And then there was another bachata room where most people were, and it was, I'd say, sensual bachata. But there was still this really respectful lead who asked me, "Are you comfortable with sensual bachata?" Even though the room was fully sensual bachata. And I thought, oh, what a kind thing to ask. And They were very respectful, and I explained I'm comfortable learning sensual bachata. However, I don't understand all of the movements, so I'll probably mess up, but I'm okay trying. I love learning new things, and the art of all of the dancing is very beautiful to me. So, yes, you're right. The follows do talk. I love my follows, but they're talking out of a way to keep each other safe and
Exactly,
to make
exactly.
sure that they're comfortable, not out of anything to put anybody down. And
Exactly.
so I love that you are keeping this dance world safe, and I'm excited for your dance journey. You are inspiring. You said 17 years, was it, that you've been a dancer?
I've been I'm giving away my age, but I've been dancing since I was 21. It was my senior year at UC Irvine. Finally, decided to break out of my shell. And, I dove right in.
What would you, yep. What was
I'm
that,
sorry. I'm
Patrick?
sorry.
What would you
Go ahead.
say to somebody who it hasn't really tried dancing before, but they're interested?
If you're interested, if figure out what's holding you back for one. If it's just being afraid to try it alone, take a friend. Or, even if you go alone, just tell the instructor, just talk to people. As an instructor myself, on and off, because I got my current job, it has been difficult for me to go back to the teaching, but we love it when we get new dancers. Because we like I remember that passion, right when you're starting. It's like, oh my God, learn everything. And as an instructor, I love helping people grow in that way. Sometimes at dance events, I'll see people I knew, people I used to teach. I love watching how they grow. We love including new people at the very least in here in SLO. I've heard it said that we're not necessarily the top level dancers in skill, but we're known as some of the nicest. Very least here in SLO, it's a nice place to learn.
Yes, that makes such a huge difference. When I have learned from instructors who are kind and patient and really joyful, compassionate, my body actually relaxes and I learn the movement better. But when I'm instructed in harsh ways, my body tenses up and doesn't respond well. And I found that SLO is filled with really loving instructors and a really loving dance community. And there is talent there that I've seen. And I hear you. You go to the bigger cities and you're like, whoa, you can move like that. That's so neat. I was wondering, what did you teach?
I would teach the beginner salsa and bachata classes. I think maybe a couple of the intermediate ones. I was still too shy and unconfident to teach the more advanced ones, but yeah, those were really the only ones. And I think part of it is part of the reason I felt kind of not as confident to teach the advanced ones is because what's advanced in slow is closer to like beginning intermediate in some of the bigger cities.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because we're not naturally good dancers or something. It's just because we don't have as much exposure. It's a smaller population here.
That's a good point. I'm excited to go to the LA Bravo Fest this Thanksgiving weekend and see more artists from different parts of the world, which is really exciting. And I am excited to go back to SLO soon to visit for a little bit and see our dance community there. Thank you, Patrick, so much for sharing your thoughts and stories. What's one way that we can echo eternity or encourage others?
I mean, I don't know if this answers the question, but like when you asked that, I was reminded of something that I said for a long time ago, is that you know how all throughout history humanity has been kind of like as just a species, because we're mortal, we often wonder how, you know, there are all these stories about how to gain immortality. It, in a way, it can, it's a selfish endeavor in a way. However, I think the way you gain immortality is just by having, authentic interactions with people, sharing a part of who you are. Because, you know, when you are authentic with someone, you're giving somebody a part of yourself. And if they choose to take whatever they choose to take from that interaction, you know, if they make it a part of themselves, when they in turn have authentic interactions with other people and they give, you know, they give a part of themselves to that person. That part of you that they integrated within themselves goes along with. So it's like a candle. It's like a candle passing a flame to another candle. It doesn't diminish you, but it lights fire in someone else.
I love that. The legacy of authenticity carries on. It's so beautiful, and you definitely live your life like that from what I've seen. So thank you for being genuinely kind and authentic. How can our listeners connect with you?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm ready to have, you know, a large internet connect with me, but directly. But I'd love to plug this plug the club and also the dance studio, if that's all right. There's
Yes.
you can follow CP Salsa, the club that I'm currently a part of, and also Nexus Slow, where we now do our dance events, the majority of our dance events. So it's on Instagram, it's at CP Salsa, and then Nexus, the dance studio Nexus Slow, is at Nexus Slow, so on
Yes.
Instagram as well.
Awesome. And thank you so much for coming to the Latin Dance Podcast Party and for being patient with us reshooting the content from that night due to
Yeah.
copyright purposes.
Oh yeah, it was the music in the background, huh?
Yes. Oh
Yeah.
dear.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. Thank you, Patrick, so much for
Of
coming
course.
today. It was so lovely to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And you know, I look forward to seeing you come back and visit.
Can't wait to come back.
Save
Thank
me a
you.
dance.
Yes, save you a dance. And today we have Amy Grigore, a physician assistant and one of my dear beloved friends. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. You're welcome. So happy you're here. Will you share a bit about your dance journey? Yeah, I'd be happy to. So I started dancing next month. It's going to be 2 years. So time has really flown by. It all started off with some close friends mentioning that they were going to take some dance classes. And my husband and I were looking for another hobby that we could do together. And so we said, we'll do a trial 1 month of dance classes for my birthday. And then we would assess and see if we wanted to do it more. And here we are almost 2 years later, and we're still dancing and taking classes.
This is wonderful. For those of you watching the video version, I've got both of my dogs, Chewy and Legacy. They wish that they could dance with us. Amy, we just went to the LA Bravo Festival. What was your experience with that?
It was amazing. I was definitely very, very tired after we got back, but the classes were good. They weren't so challenging that I felt intimidated. So that was a nice part. And then everyone was very nice and a lot of great dancers. So I'm excited to do another festival again.
This is wonderful. And what would you say to someone that's interested in wanting to try bachata or salsa dancing, but they haven't gone for it yet?
I would say give it a try for sure because I was never a dancer. I never did any ballet as a child or cheerleading. But we gave it a try. It was awkward at first, but now it's so fun. And I think that dance brings so much joy, not only to you, like mentally, but also physically and socially. It's just a great way to meet new people and have fun.
Thank you for sharing that. And you have grown so much as a dancer. I see you practicing your dance moves from class all the time. How do you incorporate practicing dance into your daily schedule, which is always super packed already? And what would you say to someone who wants to start practicing outside of class or socials to level up, but they just haven't carved out that time?
Yeah, so I would say just start off by picking maybe the same time every day, maybe carve out like 10 minutes. Or what we did in the beginning, my husband and I was just dancing one song every day. So sometimes we wouldn't have enough time to practice, but we would dance one song, which is maybe a couple minutes. And then I think as you catch that bug of, this is really fun. I want to get better. I want to level up, I guess you could say. Then you start saying, okay, let's have 15, 30 minutes, maybe an hour. We don't practice an hour, but maybe some people have an hour, and just trying out one song a day is what I'd recommend.
That is wonderful. And you always have super cute outfits and you seem to be comfortable and fashionable. Do you have any tips for us ladies who sometimes have a difficult time finding outfits that are supportive and fun?
Yeah, so I would say the most comfortable outfits I have are the ones that have a built-in bra because, yeah, sticky pads, sticky bras, I feel like with the sweat, depending on how much you sweat or the time of the year, they can kind of fall off or move. So, just having a bra that's already integrated in the top is very, very nice. And then something that's stretchy for the bottom part, the pants, skirts, something that you feel comfortable in, and that stretches.
These are great tips. I am taking notes. And Amy, what's one way we can echo eternity or encourage others?
Yeah, I think a quote from one of our professors, or I guess he would mention it every class period in college, he said, "Be kind to everyone, even when they don't deserve it." So, when you do that, you can really love on someone and look at maybe their perspective and not always think the worst of someone.
That's so beautiful. You do a wonderful job modeling that. You are so kind and you have beautiful, firm boundaries.
Thank
Yes,
you.
you're welcome. Thank you so much for coming today and sharing. And I can't wait to go with you again to be on the dance floor.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for joining me today on the Echo and Encourage podcast. I hope this inspired you and gave you a fresh perspective. If you loved today's episode, hit that subscribe button, rate, and leave a review. Your support helps us encourage more people. Connect with us on social media or visit our website for more resources to help you live your best life. See you next time.